Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
You have more than a minute to log in.
Spent the other minute searching for you in the hallway.
I was talking to Larry Richard.
Larry was like, Joe, your show is beginning.
It wasn't beginning because Crowley was late again.
No, we were on time today.
It's 10:05 limits and the show is starting.
I know, because I had to move stuff because you weren't in the studio.
Please. I was standing right. I've been sitting here for 3 minutes. They complain about us, the PM guys,
and
Crowley. Now you're, this is unbelievable that we started the day like this, at odds with each other.
No, I don't want to be at odds.
We are at odds. The music stinks. We need new segments. The show needs to be livened up. And that sort of is my theme today, actually, Limits. Is I was thinking this morning, all right, I have nothing left to say on Aaron Rodgers. I just don't. I heard he was in town golfing this week. I can't verify it. I don't care either. What is he doing? What are we doing? I have nothing left to say on that. Then I thought about, all right, breaking news right before the show is Mike Sullivan has signed on as the Rangers' new coach. New York Post and everybody else going crazy about that. I've already exhausted the topic of how this compares to the Mike Tomlin situation. But I will say this on that one. Sully's going to be a very rich man. And I feel, you know what I feel? It's not a thought or an opinion. This is more a feeling about this situation. Is happy for Mike Sullivan. Mike Sullivan walked in here, and I was reading some of the old pieces that I wrote around his arrival in Pittsburgh. And good morning, Limits. Are you okay today?
I'm okay, yeah. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
Very good, and thank you for asking. We have, I'm going to show you a video during our brief intermission coming up. It's unbelievable what is happening at my house.
Oh, boy. Is this with your power? There's also water lines, right?
Including mini tractors. Yes. I have 7 trucks. You can count them in the video in front of my house.
Oh, my gosh.
My wife and I just burst out laughing this morning when we walked into the front yard. Before anything else happened, before the storm or anything else, the gas line on our little street is being totally redone. And the epicenter of the street where it's being redone is our house.
Convenient.
So today, a knock on the door at 7 o'clock. And the guy says, I got to come in and shut your gas off for the day. I'm like, okay, do whatever you need to do. They're digging up our yard. There's a giant hole in our yard.
Front yard or backyard?
Front yard.
Oh.
It could be a blessing in disguise because the front yard is in disrepair and they said they're going to throw grass seed down.
Oh.
So that might actually work out. So I've got a tractor digging up the yard, some sort of contraption. I don't know what he's using. The guy in the house shutting off the gas. The electric company with like 3 trucks down there. So I have no gas, no electricity. Miraculously, we do have water. I mean, it's actually, in the end, comical and makes me grateful for the things we do have. When you suddenly don't have them, you become grateful for having had them and knowing you'll have them again. And you know what else is happening? At least around our little section of the street and in Green Tree right now. And in some ways, Green Tree, you know, is one of the areas around Western Pennsylvania that I think our electricity is going to be out until Tuesday in a lot of places. And I'm sure when you drive around here, the lights are out, traffic lights, things like that, is that people have banded together. It's quite a sight, limits. My wife tells me she was at the Starbucks around the corner, which is, you know, halfway down the road with people. But she said her interaction with the workers was amazing and everybody's being nice. And then I come to these lights that are out, the traffic lights, and everybody seems kinder and it's more orderly when we all take turns with no traffic light working than it is when everything's working.
A lot of people waving, whenever, yeah, letting you go, being somewhat patient.
Yes, it's take your turn. Be kind. Things aren't going well right now. Let's help each other. Instead of on a normal day, it's this finger right up. Whoops. This finger right up in your face and things like that. You know what I mean? I forgot, yes. I was on camera.
Yes.
Things like that, limits. You know what I mean?
I do. It's because everybody is in that same situation at that point. You know, it's a little bit different when it's one guy that's just trying to skirt his way through the line or cut in front of somebody else.
Exactly. Exactly.
Everybody's in the same boat.
It restores my faith in humanity just a little bit. And the people who are working, you know, they have a job to do. Everybody's doing the best they can at the bottom of the street here. Guy named Josh walked into the house today. Very kind man. Telling me all the things they had to do. I got to shut off this. I got to come back later. You're not going to get your washer and dryer back until, you know, the electricity comes back next Tuesday. Something like that. I didn't even know if he was the gas guy or the electric guy when he walked in. I've become confused. But I have noticed that there's a sort of coming together with people around this. And that's heartening to see.
I'm very glad.
And yet I come in and I'm very angry at you.
And yes.
And I don't know why.
I don't know. I'm very angry at the Baldwin Wiffle Ball group chat right now.
Why?
Opening day
there?
Is Sunday. Yeah. And some people are starting to cause some problems.
You are unbelievable.
Many people that are in the league listen to this show, and I'm not dealing with that until after the show.
Yeah.
So they can wait for my response until then.
You are incredible.
Oh, my God.
No matter
what's
happening.
I was so excited today to show you my shirt.
Yeah, I love your shirt.
Year 6 is starting on Sunday.
No matter what's happening in the world or in your locality, your biggest concern, and I love you for this, is your wiffle ball league in Baldwin. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah,
your
it's
dedication
a big concern.
To this. Yeah. When's opening day?
Opening day is Sunday.
Can I sing the anthem?
Yes,
you
can.
Do the anthem?
Yeah, for opening day, we actually do.
I actually will sing it. Where is it?
It is at a park in Baldwin.
Yeah.
And
anyone in particular? Or?
Yes. I don't know if I want to divulge and let the masses.
You want people that would be great if they
showed up.
People
could show up.
I mean,
yeah, if you want to show up.
We had a crowd for opening day.
That would actually be cool. And I have.
Bring Malsy to throw out the first pitch?
Well, no. I've actually asked somebody to throw out the first pitch.
Who?
That might be able to do it, but isn't entirely.
A celebrity?
Sure yet. Yes.
On the level of Malsy?
No. A higher, bigger celebrity than the level of Malsy. No. I have asked. And he might come out to opening day.
Wow.
Yeah, I have to confirm with Bob. He was like, a friend of mine was like, you should ask Pomp to throw out the first pitch, LOL. And I was like, yeah, I can. And I was like, Bob, what do you think? And he said, yeah, I can. As long as I can figure it out with my schedule, I'll go.
That would be amazing.
So we'll see if Bob goes.
You have to video that, obviously.
Oh, no doubt.
Right?
No doubt. I'll have somebody video it.
And post that on Twitter.
Me, first pitch.
And you'll be catching.
Yes.
Yeah. That's incredible. Where was I, limits, before all this? Oh, on Sully.
No,
Mike
Sullivan.
The New York Post going, and I'm sick of the, you know, there's an obvious connection here. Oh, I remember. And I wonder how other people feel. I mean, it's really the official end of an era, and he's going to a division rival. And I feel happy for Sully. And as I was saying, I go back to the stories I was writing when he first came here and how he really did enliven a dormant locker room and transform them and win two cups right away. Honestly, it's one of the best coaching jobs in sports history. Forget about Penguins history or Pittsburgh sports history. How many guys have walked into a team in the middle of a season and won a championship that year and the next year? I mean, I'm sure it's happened, but not a lot. What a coaching job by him here. And then, you know, like a lot of relationships, it went south and probably should have ended before it did, and that's okay. And my point is that I feel thrilled for the guy. He's now in New York, where it's going to be a pressure cooker. Don't get me wrong. I'm not sure he's going to succeed there. But he's signing a deal that makes him one of the richest, if not the richest, coach in NHL history. He's got a new lease on life. He has an actual goalie. Everything is coming up Sully right now. And that could have been Mike Tomlin. It could have been. And I would have had the exact same feeling, like, congratulations on just extricating yourself from this. You know what I mean? Limits?
I do.
Just go out there and live your life. It's like sending a kid off to college. You've done everything you can do here. Okay, it's gotten old for you, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, at this
he was part of the reason the Penguins are in this position is because of Sully. A big reason the Steelers are in this position, which is rampant mediocrity. 38-32-1, including playoff games over the past 4 years with a minus 80 point differential. They get blown out every time they go to a playoff game. It's because of Tomlin. But we'll have a grand send-off and you can go enjoy your life. Go where people will welcome you and hail you as the incoming hero. And you can become the richest coach in the history of the NFL. You could have gone to Chicago. You would have had a quarterback the way Sully has a goalie in New York. You know, you would have had a team. You would have, everything would have been fresh and new and wonderful. And instead, I just can't help but note that here we are again. It just feels so stale in Steeler country. But I'm going to move on from that because I don't feel like talking about that anymore.
Yeah, if I would have been okay if they did it. Now, it's kind of a moot point at this point just because, you know, we know that nothing's going to change.
What does the word moot mean?
Moot?
Limits. Yeah. Moot is a overly belabored point, a dead point. What does moot mean?
I think overly belabored is a good way to put it.
Yeah.
You ever say a moo point? I think
no.
We've had this discussion before.
I haven't. No.
No? So a moo point was a Friends reference that Joey on Friends said because he didn't realize it was a moot point.
Yeah.
He said it was a moo point because it's like a cow's opinion. It's a cow's opinion. It's moo. It's
I
a
do
moo
like
point.
That, actually. Needless to say, Pomp isn't here. He's given new meaning to the term part-time Pomp this week, hasn't he? But he's never here on Fridays. However, Donnie Football is going to be here from noon to one. We're gonna talk a lot of football. And that's the big story of the morning anyways, the breaking news with Sully. And man, he is. Having said I'm happy for him, he's going into the pressure cooker in the NHL right now. The Rangers, who won the President's Trophy last year, fell apart this year because of their bumbling GM, Chris Drury, who is an old buddy of Sully's, and they both worked together in the Four Nations, which for some reason people seem to think the U.S. won. Last I checked, they lost the Four Nations tournament, even though, who was it we had in here last week? Oh, it was Kyle Dubas. We didn't have him in here. He was talking about Sully's work with, you know, with Team USA. Kyle, they didn't win. In case you didn't notice, it were four teams and three lost and one won, and it wasn't Team USA.
They weren't the one.
No. But I was also thinking about this with Sully, that over the next 2 years, over the next year, really, this guy could cement him. He's already going to the Hall of Fame because multiple cups. He could become a hockey legend. He could win gold and revive the New York Rangers and win a cup. If those two things were to happen within the next year or two, it would have to happen with the Olympics within the next year because that's when it's happening. He becomes a hockey legend, Limits. Do you realize that? He's got that opportunity right now. He's the toast of the Big Apple. Even as we speak, I was listening to some of their, you know what I missed today was Boomer and Gio, our old friend Greg Giannotti. I'm sure they would have had a great reaction to that. But I was listening to some sports talk radio, and they are fired up for Sully in New York, as they should be, as they should be. And it was long past time to go here.
It was. And he is taking over a team that, what, 2 years ago was winning the President's Trophy in New York, was right around the top of the entire Eastern Conference, really good team that, I mean, obviously this year fell on some hard times. There is some talent there. They had to add a couple other pieces, but
plenty of high-end talent, and yeah. He has a great goalie.
He's a star in Panarin. Like that,
and he is a great defense. I mean, he is. At all three levels, they have at least one star player. So it's not a bad place to land if you're looking to win. I would say of the eight coaching openings that there were in the NHL, that one has the biggest immediate chance of winning and the biggest immediate chance of complete implosion. So that's where Sully is. Good luck to Sully moving forward. And the Penguins now turn their attention to their next coach. And I think we're going to see a number of candidates rolled in and out of here as Kyle Dubas makes that decision. But we move on to topic two. It's not really a six-pack today, I don't think. My stomach hurts today. No. I drank too much coffee.
How many cups today?
Just a giant cup in the morning on an empty stomach. And I ate pizza and ice cream late last night, which I'm now thinking about.
Man. What time?
Real late. I went over to my stepson's house, him and his wife and their baby. They're having us in because of our electrical problems. And they had pizza right there on the table at 10 o'clock at night. I'm like, that looks good. Can I have some? Sure. So I had pizza. And then Abby made me a bowl of ice cream. And it was bigger than my usual bowl of ice cream. I usually just like one scoop. But she brought over like an entire basket of ice cream, a giant bowl of ice cream, and it was cookie dough limits.
There you go, Grandpa. Eat up your ice cream. Come on, Grandpa. It's treat time. Late night snack on this Thursday.
And so I ate it all, and I woke up today, and I'm hurting right now, and I fear over the next 2 hours.
Of crashing out.
No, not of crashing out, but of having more blowouts than the 1960 World Series.
Oh, or the 2007 Patriots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Either one of those. So,
or the 73-9 Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, exactly. They rarely played a close game.
Yes.
I had also forgotten what a TV was like. It's amazing what we take for granted. I mean, I go home and veg out in front of the TV and watch sports every night. That changes when I don't have a TV and my phone doesn't get the games on because there's no internet or anything like that. I'm just sitting there in the darkness like Aaron Rodgers for two nights. So we went over there and he has a gigantic setup limits. And not only did he have that, he had, instead of sitting in darkness, there I was with three games on this giant television screen. It was incredible.
It's four nights of complete darkness.
Actually, only two. And then he said he has YouTube TV. Have you heard of this?
Yes. Yes, my uncle has YouTube TV.
I'm paying $300-something dollars for cable every month. I won't name the company, but what am I doing? They're paying significantly less for that, and they have everything except local,
local sports.
But you can get that on an app, right?
Yeah, the app can be a little inconsistent.
What do you mean?
That's
by
why
that?
We also have cable, and my dad has said the same thing. Should we get rid of it and just go YouTube TV? And
I'm going YouTube TV limits. I am.
If YouTube TV's prices continue to go up and up and up and up too,
not as high as that. I can tell you that they're paying under $100 a month, but then you have to pay for some apps.
Right.
It's still worth it. But how do you do it? They were laughing at us last night because I'm like, well, where do you get the clicker? How's the clicker?
Do you have a smart TV?
He's like, you get the clicker with the TV, you idiot. Right? You have a clicker for the TV? I said, I thought that was from the cable company. And then he just gave up at some point.
You would need to get like either a different TV, or you'd have to get like a stick that you plug into your TV.
Perhaps I could call in Easton Stick as a consultant.
The stick figure, yes.
What do you mean I need a different TV? That makes no sense.
Well, if you have an older TV that's not a smart TV, a lot of smart TVs already have apps that you can either that are already downloaded or that you can download. Like, if you have a smart TV,
I'm not doing it then. I'll just pay the extra. I hate stuff like this.
Because you're confused?
Very confused.
Yeah.
But I do want that. I mean, we were watching the Knicks and the Pistons and the Senators and the Maple Leafs on the same TV, and it was both of them were bigger than the TV that I watch. It was incredible.
Yeah, on like the double box. You're able to watch one on the left and one on the right.
Do you have that at your house?
Yeah. We have cable, too.
Where have I been? I want all of this. Well, why would you pay for both?
Well, we have like a family sharing thing for the YouTube TV.
So when I picture your family, does everybody sit together and watch the games every night?
No.
Like you guys went to the Jimmy Buffett concert?
No, different than the Jimmy Buffett concert.
I picture popcorn and everybody under a blanket on the couch, the entire family.
My dad and I watch all the Steeler games together. I'll watch some of the Pirate games, and my dad will come in and yell if there's like something that goes on that he might walk out of the room in frustration.
You just reminded me, and I know people out there have had this experience. I used to get so mad at my dad. Because I'd be watching like a Bills game or something, and he wouldn't be watching. But then he would come in and make like an undercutting, horribly negative statement about the game that would just be the most incredible buzzkill, and then leave. You know, it was like a Bills assassin would come into the room and just drill them and then leave, and it was so annoying. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that.
I'm not saying your dad does that, but reminded me of my dad.
No, he doesn't. But that definitely can bring the mood down, I'm sure, for you in that instance.
Yes, where
you
it got to the point where I couldn't watch games with him because if he would sit in the room and watch the game, it was like, Dad, stop.
I'm depressed, Dad. Please stop saying this to me. I just want to watch the game in peace.
So what does your dad say about the Pirates when he walks
in the
room?
Well, if they're losing, he'll just come in, and sometimes he'll just go like, as he looks at the TV, and then he'll say, like, is Skeens pitching? No, they had to take him out. He gave up a couple of runs. Walks out of the room.
I think that scene repeats itself across Western Pennsylvania.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Yeah. I mean, there are so many. Oh, my God. I was going to say, you know, people who are either livid or depressed or make that exact same sound nightly and daily when it comes to the Pirates. It's just, you wouldn't believe, you know, all the people we talk to. Limits. You see somebody on the street, they recognize our voices. And honest to God, the first thing isn't how about them Steelers or anything like that. It's always Pirate angst. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it typically is. Because, I mean, I truly believe that this is such a huge baseball town and we don't get to see it a lot just because of the level of success that the team has not had over the last however many years.
Yeah.
But the fact that it's like a time-honored tradition for the last 100-plus years, and it's, I think the Steelers obviously the same way, but it's passed down from generation to generation to generation. When you're young, you're going to Pirate games as a kid. One, because there maybe is so many. Maybe you have a school trip. I know people that my sister sung in the choir, and those are the first couple of games that they went to when they were singing. So, like, a lot of your first sports memories, at least I can attest to this, and I think some of my friends can, is at baseball games.
Right.
And that's what starts to make you fall in love with the game.
We used to run around the bases.
Right.
In the Sunday games.
And I think the Pirates do a good job of that and how they institute the 14 and under kids with the giveaways and everything. But
plus, it's in generations. It's an old franchise that's been passed down from generation to generation.
And frustrations that run deep through generation to generation.
Deep. Yeah, they run deep. And yesterday we had a little incident of sorts, didn't we? Well, you mentioned a choir. Your sister sings in the choir. I've gotten a lot of compliments on You and I and Pomp. What did we sing together the other day? I forgot the song. Remember when we were harmonizing?
Yes, we did harmonize.
What was?
Well, let me see if I can find it.
Who were we
here.
Singing to, and what were we? Oh, we were singing. Was it I've Done Everything for Malzi?
No.
Who was it? We were. Oh, Zangrilli.
It was Zangrilli.
It was Zangrilli Lace. He was sitting right across from us, and we faded him live. We sang to Dan Zangrilli, and I've gotten a lot of compliments since then on the fact that we sounded good. I mean, we were Peter, Paul, and Mary limits. We were harmonizing.
Where did it go?
You'll find it eventually.
I will.
We're coming around to Skeens, though, because that's a topic today. Did you hear Crowley on the morning show?
Oh, Crowley was getting crushed on the morning show today for his take.
What exactly, all he said was he's worried about him, right?
Pretty much. He also did tweet something out that I will read to you, where basically Crowley is concerned that we are not seeing the Paul Skeens of last year. And, look, I don't know if Crowley phrased it necessarily the best way, but what he did say, ultimately, as I stalled to be able to find the tweet, was basically to the point of, well,
go to Crowley's Twitter site.
It is.
It's sure to be there.
Skeens was the NL Cy Young favorite coming into the year. If the Pirates were even going to sniff contention, they'd need to win a vast majority of his starts. They're 3-4 on Daisy pitches. Whispers, Crowley puts in asterisks. He needs to be much better.
Well, so do they. I mean, his ERA is still at 2.74, which is pretty darn good. However, let me ask you, and let me ask people, is there some concern? His velocity is down. Am I right about that?
Slightly? But yes, just slightly.
Okay. His strikeouts are down by 3 per game.
Yes.
That's not slightly.
No.
That's a high percentage, from 11.5 to 8.6. Nobody's saying he hasn't been really good. He when you have a 2.74 ERA, you've been really good.
You're really good.
But I think we thought he'd be better. I think that's fair. And when your strikeouts are down and your velocity even a little bit is down, people get spooked by this idea of, is there something wrong? Let me ask you why you think the strikeouts are down. Is it more about, see, Skeens really does love the mental side of the game and trying to outwit hitters as much as overpower them. And I think he came into this year with the idea of being way more efficient, so he could pitch deeper into games, maybe pitching to contact a little more. And I'm not sure that's the Skeens I want to see. So are you concerned? How do you read this limits as a fervent Skeens and Pirate fan?
Yeah, I'm a little bit concerned. I'm not fully concerned. I do think it was fascinating. There were back-to-back home runs hit against him yesterday.
Back-to-back-to-back home runs.
It was three in a row?
It was three in the same inning.
Yeah.
You and I were on the air, and you jinxed him.
Apparently so. What I think that the arm slot moving down ever so slightly, and maybe that just helps with breaking pitches, maybe is affecting that a little bit. I also think that hitters naturally adjust. They've seen Skeens more. Maybe they know, even though he has such a huge repertoire, like 7 pitches he can throw, maybe they're just, because of the data that's out there, starting to catch on to him a little bit, and that's why the strikeouts aren't there. He's also not just trying to overpower everyone with fastballs anymore, which he did so well last year.
Yeah, I mean, he did that last year, but he also went after them with his other pitches. He was flat out striking out, you know, 30 to 40% more of the hitters than he is this year.
He had a game he started out with like 6 strikeouts in a row last year. He had 2 games where he had a no-hitter.
Right.
Against divisional teams, Milwaukee and Chicago. So I think this is more so the league punching back at him. His ERA is still in the 2.7s. He's not having a bad year in any regard, but we put Paul Skeens on such a higher pedestal than
As we should.
So should there be some concern?
As we should.
Based on what we know that Skeens is? Yeah, I think there's a little bit of concern.
The concern is, oh my God, what's happening to this guy? It's why isn't he as dominant as last year? And that's because the idea is to be at least as dominant. And I know when you have a 1.96 ERA, it's a little hard to top that. But I think we, and more importantly, he thinks he will and can. And instead, it's gone the opposite direction, from historically unbelievable to just really good. I'll take really good, but don't mistake what we're talking about here. And by the way, he's already had about a third as many starts as he had all of last year. So it's not a tiny little sample size here. It's seven starts. And I thought he was going to be even more dominant, and he's, I won't say significantly, but what's the word just below that? Less dominant than he was. It's an interesting story.
It is.
I'll tell you that.
It is, because, I mean, we consider him to be an all-time generational talent, as we should, and the expectations
so
for
does
him,
he. He was just quoted in Sports Illustrated saying, basically, nobody has the arsenal that I have. So that's what we expect to see. He expects it. We expect it. I can guarantee if this continues and he's about to run over his ERA last year and three strikeouts down, the narrative will be, well, just another guy the Pirates ruined. But that won't be fair, because trust me on this. Paul Skenes is running his own operation. He's got his own people. If you read the Verducci story, he's got his own trainer. Talks to other people about pitching, and he is very confident in his own routine. He's the one guy, I think, of any athlete I've ever seen who's not going to let any team BS infiltrate what he does, okay? So if this does, you know, come in a notch below last year, it won't be I'm not like giving the Pirates a break here. It's just a fact. It won't be the Pirates' fault. Because he's not on their he's not on their program. He's on his program.
Right. He's doing it his way, which I think that he should have the authority to do. Like, obviously, the Pirates should have some input as the team, the franchise, the coaching staff, whatever. Skenes should be the one that ultimately gets to say, just because of how different of a pitcher that he is. But is that maybe one of the reasons? Does he need to be honed in by Oscar Marin a little bit?
No. God, no.
I'm just throwing it out. I'm not saying he does.
What do you mean honed in by Oscar Marin?
I'm just throwing it out there as a question. I don't believe so either.
No. But I think the bottom line for all of this is he'll figure it out. And I think the way he's going to figure it out is, maybe I'm getting a little too cute and using too many pitches here. It's time to go back to a strikeout mentality. That's what he is in the end, is a strikeout pitcher, and maybe a historically dominant strikeout pitcher. Forget about, you know, the idea of, oh, this will be a better way to get deep into games. Forget that. Go after people and tell them you want to go out there for 120 pitches anyway.
Do you think he's pitching too much to contact so that he's able to get quicker outs and
pitch
deeper in games?
Yes, limits. I just said that.
Yeah. Which, in saying so, makes me think that he's kind of caught between a rock and a hard place. Like, obviously, Skenes loves overpowering pitcher.
What
strike
does that
guys
mean,
out.
Limits? What is rock and a hard place? Would the hard place be like a cement wall? And what does that mean, actually, if I'm stuck between the two? If I turn to the left, I'm in trouble, or the right, I'm in trouble?
I think basically that, if, like, let's say you're pinned against like a wall, and there's like a rock on your foot,
sure,
and you just can't get the rock off. It's that heavy. You're stuck between a rock and the hard place is the wall behind you.
Yeah.
Or is it more figurative
or metaphorical? Or literal? I don't know.
I think it's metaphorical.
I think I interrupted you.
You did, and I lost my train of thought. But basically what I was trying to get at with that is, he's such an overpowering strikeout pitcher, but he wants to pitch deeper in games. Now, you can have it the best of both ways in some occurrences. I wonder if that's different, though, against a Chicago team. Number one team in all of baseball offensively, team that loves to drive the ball out of the ballpark, hits for a high average, high doubles team too.
Yeah.
So it's hard. You kind of have to pick a side at some point, at least maybe individually, not for like a whole 32 start season.
Yeah, I mean, here's the side I pick, go after him. And I think the other thing that's understandably on his mind that was revealed in the Verducci column in Sports Illustrated is, remember the stat I read yesterday where 19 of 21 pitchers who were similarly profiled as Skenes in terms of how hard they throw early in games, 19 of 21 have had some sort of arm issue recently. He is on a mission, like an obsessive mission, to avoid that.
Right.
And I just wonder where that's leading him, you know, and what directions. And it's all good. Maybe he's experimenting with different things. Maybe he is thinking, you know, I don't need to come in and throw like a closer for, you know, all the time. And I think I don't even think he did that last year necessarily. Like, there were games last year where he went to breaking stuff, went to softer stuff. He's a thinking man's pitcher. Sometimes do you think too much, though? And you lose that mentality of a closer. Like, I'm here to strike people out. That's what I do. It may take more pitches. Okay. He said he wants to condition himself up toward 130 pitches anyway. It's an interesting story, I'll say that. And everybody in the world would take Paul Skeens' numbers right now. But that's really not the story. The story is, the strikeouts down by 3 per game. Why is that happening? Why do you give up 3 home runs in an inning? Things like that. It's interesting to me. But if there's one guy I have confidence in to figure it out, it's Paul Skeens. And believe me, he'll be doing the figuring out. Nobody's going to do it for him.
Texter sends in the dictionary definition of between a rock and a hard place.
Yes.
Faced with two equally dangerous or difficult choices or circumstances.
Sure. Yeah.
The sentence that it is being used in, trying to please two supervisors is like being between a rock and a hard place.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Like me between Mulsey and Ron Cook as co-hosts.
Yes.
Right? Between a rock and a hard place. Of course, at least they were here, which is more than I can say for Bob this week.
You know what they say, though, Joe.
No, Bob's two appearances this week, one of which he left early, they were legendary, were they not?
They always are. He brings the house down.
All right, let's finish with Alvin and Aliquippa. This has been overwhelming for me. 412-928-9370. And one other thing I wanted to get into before Ray Fittipaldo was Ross Tucker ripping, just absolutely ripping the Steelers and Aaron Rodgers. I'll tell you about that next.
Alvin in Aliquippa is on the line right now. Hello, Alvin. How are you?
Hey, Bob. You think Gino can carry the backup field?
I didn't expect Alvin, you dog, you.
Joe, welcome back.
Limits, have I expressed how angry I am toward you today?
Yes, you have a couple of times.
I think I'm taking out my anger from my home situation of my lawn getting dug up at the moment on you,
so
and I apologize.
That's okay, and I apologize if I have any anger towards you based on the things that I'm dealing with people saying dumb things in my chat for Wiffle Ball.
Yeah, well, I have a problem over-expressing my anger, and you have a problem under-expressing yours. So between us both, I guess it's the right amount.
I think that's true, but when I reach a breaking point,
yes,
not great.
I know that. Did you hear about this this rookie for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? No, he's a second-year guy. Desmond Watson.
No.
He came in at 464 pounds. No, he is. He's an undrafted rookie. 464 pounds.
Oh, from Florida?
Yeah.
He's
the heaviest player in NFL history. But he says he's already lost 27 pounds, which brings him down to 437. Was that through Awaken 180?
Yeah, what a significant change.
He said, I weighed 437 late last week. That's the journey I've got to take to be successful. It's good for clicks to be the biggest player ever, but to be successful, I have to lose some weight. Limits, 464 pounds. See, that gets to this idea that I've had. Is there a spot? Obviously, there is in football. You would think at some point for a guy just to stand there and be unmovable, or is there? It's like this goalie thing where I've said you could have a sumo wrestler whose dimensions are pretty much the size of a goal net.
Yes.
And he could sit there and read a book the whole game. And if the puck just hits off him, you'll never score.
Seeing a sumo wrestler in person for the first time at the McAfee event made me realize just how big those people are that sumo wrestle.
Right. So is there a spot, like, could you use a 464-pound guy, or would even he get destroyed?
Well, mobility would obviously be a problem for him if he'd have to move. Could you imagine a sumo wrestler on the Fleury save in the 09 Stanley Cup Final? You think the sumo wrestler would get over in time?
He wouldn't have to. The sumo wrestler, if he's the dimensions of the hockey net, would never let a puck in. That's what I'm saying.
The sumo wrestler would also... What happens if the sumo wrestler like loses his stick? You're basically saying that the sumo wrestler...
He wouldn't even need a stick. He just sits there.
He
like
would just
I said,
sit
he meditates.
Ice.
He sits and meditates the whole game.
So he has no, doesn't have to pay any attention to the game. He just takes up the
right.
entire...
Right, he could be watching and looking at his phone. Like, like what's his name? Rodolfo Castro.
Rounding second to go to third. He's on his way to third. He slides in and his cell phone is out of his pocket.
He could be. Do you have a Didi from the PM guys yesterday on Shador Sanders?
Yes.
I'd like to hear that if you wouldn't mind.
This is also in reaction to what happened when Dylan Gabriel was picked.
How would you handicap that situation?
I mean, I'm stunned. I don't know what else that you could. You're asking me personally. I can't. There's a way that I can answer this and I can toe the line and be a responsible sideline reporter and all of that, but I'll tell you, it completely, absolutely blew my mind in every way possible, especially after they had
taken Dylan
Gabriel.
Andrew Berry?
Wow. I've been saying this for days and nobody's come up with an answer, including you when I asked you to look it up and you're the beat writer. Has any team ever taken a quarterback in the third and fifth rounds? How many teams?
We didn't find any.
How many teams? Well, we didn't look. How many teams have taken a quarterback in the third and fifth round? Washington took RG3 and Kirk Cousins in the same draft. But RG3 was going to be the franchise guy, and they took Cousins because, for one thing, it's good to have an asset, a young, talented starter. And for the other, and that was unusual too, by the way. Highly unusual. For another... you don't know how things are going to work out with the first guy, so you take the second guy. Maybe they can grow together, whatever. But neither one of these guys is projected to be your starter anytime soon. You just took quarterbacks in the third and fifth round. I've never seen it happen, Limits. Are you looking it up even as I speak?
Yes. So this is actually the fifth time. So the Browns are the 11th team to draft two quarterbacks in 1 year in the seven-round era.
Wow. And how long is the seven-round era?
That is dating back to, I believe, the 80s.
Okay.
It's the fifth time we've seen a team draft two quarterbacks outside of the first round. This is from Steven Ruiz. It's the smallest spread, which was 50 picks, between quarterback selections, easily beating the previous record of 100.
That's what I'm saying. And that leads to the conspiracy theories of... They were told either by the Haslams or some strange thing happened with the league or something. I'm not buying into that, believe me. Although Haslam, I wonder about. Somebody doing a favor for Dion, something, so this kid doesn't become Mr. Irrelevant or not get drafted at all. It was just very, very odd. And I feel the same way Aditi felt, which was beyond stunned. Because it's never happened before. Never. Why would you do that? Do you have an explanation?
It's because the owner stepped in and basically said, I cannot believe this guy is still falling. We have to take him. Now, whether that's because he thinks he's really good or he just wants the flair of Shador Sanders, the bright lights, here you go. This guy is on our team. We have a budding star, somebody who is famous. We might as well just draft him, even though we have Dylan Gabriel.
I think I've bottomed out, Limits.
Yeah,
I went golfing yesterday with a guy named Rock and his wife. They were on one card. I was on another.
Was it Rock the Panther?
I don't think so.
No, not Rock the Panther.
Over at North Park. And I kept saying, this is increculent, like some sort of, I don't know, Rain Man or something. And I told them that my daughter was at her prom last night. And now I get a text from him saying, was the prom increculent? It just spreads to people. I fear of what I've sown. I have, I broke Ron. He was singing to himself by the time I'm convinced I'm the reason he retired, by the way. This dude was never going to retire. People were taking bets on, whether it would just all end one day on the studio with Ron at 89 years old.
Oh, boy.
Wouldn't be able to get up. They'd have to tear the jersey off him, so to speak. He left unexpectedly, and I think part of it was because he would tell me he would wake up in the middle of the night singing the same ditties that I sing in here.
What?
Yes.
I never knew that.
You do this.
That's terrifying.
You, I hear you back there. I don't even know if you do it. You're singing back there.
Yeah, man,
and then
occasionally.
I have people saying,
I'm losing my mind slowly.
People saying these words. This man is a very upstanding man. He's a teacher. He's a good golfer. Seems to have a very happy family. And he's texting me the word incrinculant this morning. I fear of what I've wrought.
That's incrinculant, Joe. Here's the thing. It just shows the level of pull that you have. The level of influence that one Joe Starkey has.
I don't know.
To the populace. The populace loves being able to consume more Joe Starkey. They need more.
I don't know if this is funny or tragic when I get a, was the prom incrinculant?
I think a little bit of both.
Yeah, probably.
Depending on how you want to interpret it.
So, I'm with Aditi on that one. I really am. Let me hear that again, as a matter of fact, because Aditi is very hooked in. Like, she's old school with sources. I think Arthur Smith is a source of hers around here. I know she knows people in Cleveland, covers that team. I just want to hear that again.
How would you handicap that situation?
I mean, I'm stunned. I don't know what else that you could. You're asking me personally. I can't. There's a way that I can answer this, and I can toe the line and be a responsible sideline reporter and all of that, but I'll tell you, it completely, absolutely blew my mind in every way possible, especially after they had
taken
Jordan
Gabriel. Do you think Andrew Berry?
I mean, just go look at the video that made the rounds last Saturday immediately on social media, where you had Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry clapping like they were being told if they didn't clap, they would be summarily fired that instant.
Like they're in the movie 1984. You will clap now.
Exactly. Yes. I mean, it was comical on one hand, and all I could think of was, please, a thought bubble, some truth serum for Kevin Stefanski. Here's a guy thinking, I was this close. Remember the old saying, sanity, I missed it by that much.
That much.
This guy was this close to escaping this Deshaun Watson nightmare, with the team owner saying we swung and missed. I mean, I think we can pretty much say that Deshaun Watson's going to be done in Cleveland with a comment like that. Plus, Watson now, it's out of sight, out of mind, because he's got the injury. He's not coming back anytime soon. Probably never going to play it down for them again. What a nightmare that was for Stefanski. And he's probably thinking, all right, we might not be good at the quarterback position, but I've got Pickett, I've got Flacco, took this kid Dylan Gabriel, and now we're going to bring in the Deion circus? Am I going to have Deion Sanders texting me now on what to do with my quarterbacks? That's all I was thinking as I looked at Stefanski. He was stunned they took Shador Sanders.
Barry looked even more frustrated. He had a look on his face. Like, you know that meme of that like kid that just looks at the camera and he's just like blank staring? That was Andrew Barry. Yeah. He was like literally in a trance, staring into outer space like, do I really
Whose quarterback
have to deal
situation
with this?
Is worse, the Steelers or the Browns right now? Whose is worse?
So this is without Aaron Rodgers we're factoring in, right?
Right now, okay. If you want to say with and without Rodgers, you could certainly do that. Limits your options are they're limitless here.
Yes, I think I'd still rather have the Steelers because I don't think Joe Flacco has anything left. Kenny Pickett, I don't know, and I don't think Dylan Gabriel was worth a third round pick. I mean, really? And then Sanders again. You're bringing the circus in, and Deshaun Watson is Deshaun Watson. Cleveland is definitely.
I think they're worse too. I think Rudolph might be better than anybody they have right now.
I think he is. That just shows the level of dysfunction that Cleveland has on its hands.
And yet I am, as I mentioned a couple days ago, and then I think somebody on the old Twitter line took this completely wrong. I am still wondering, I think it's fair to still wonder if Kenny Pickett would get it together or if Shador will be good. I mean, it may turn out that the Browns outfoxed everybody. But how many times has that line ever been uttered in NFL history, at least before Jim Brown? How the Browns have outfoxed everybody. I think Shador is a talented kid and tough. And as I mentioned yesterday, I think he's handled all this incredibly gracefully. which I think if you're judging, you know, how's this guy going to be moving forward, I think that's a plus.
It is, and look, Stefanski's a two-time coach of the year for a reason. Should he be one or two? Who cares about that argument? He's a good offensive...
What do you mean he's a coach of the year for good reason? He's unbelievably overrated.
I agree with that, but what I am getting at is that I think he's a solid offensive mind. Like, he might not be very good as a head coach.
His offensive mind sucks. No, it doesn't. I've had too much coffee. I just want to disagree with everything.
That's fine. We could have one of those days.
He has, though. He, at times against the Steelers, when it's been obvious all they had to do was run the ball, the dude falls in love with the passing game. He's way out of wins against the Steelers.
He has, especially when he's had healthy Nick Chubb and he's had opportunities
with them.
Of course,
he's also beaten the Steelers.
Yes. In a playoff game, I might add.
Well, not just a playoff game. He's beaten him with, what was the guy's name?
Dorian Thompson-Robinson. Yeah. He beat him with Jameis Winston.
Dorian DTR, yes. And then he beat him with Winston, for God's sakes. What are we doing
Pretty decent offensive mind there.
Come on. What is Mike Tomlin doing? How come we don't talk about that more?
What are they doing, Joe? What are they doing?
I don't think we've talked about that enough. Maybe that's because Pony and Donnie gave them a pre-Browns pass last year to lose that game. Remember that?
The Pony pass.
The Pony pass.
Yes, the Pony free pass. If they lose Thursday Night Football in the snowstorm, it's all okay.
They lost to Jameis Winston on a Thursday night because Artie Smith's best idea while his starting quarterback was actually hot at the time was to bring in the frozen cadaver of Justin Fields to throw the ball on one of the biggest plays of the game when he hadn't thrown a pass in over a month and was frozen.
Yeah, they had to defrost him like an ice block. They had some of those dryers on the sideline, you know, sit by the heater and make sure he warmed up.
And Tomlin let it happen. And it was also because the big, bad physical Steelers, who have been talking about physicality for 5 years now, couldn't get a yard in Cleveland when they needed one late in the game. And they couldn't stop Jameis Winston from going down the field at the end of the game. With all the pass rushers and their highly paid defense, they couldn't stop blanking Jameis Winston in Cleveland. And the year before, the other dude went down the field at the end of the game, if I'm not mistaken, didn't he?
DTR?
Yes.
Yeah, the other dude. He's terrible, too, and the fact that he was able to slice them up a little bit.
That might be the worst loss of Tomlin's career.
Yeah, the Mike Glennon one was really bad.
I don't know, man. You let DTR walk down the field against the highest-paid defense in football. Have we even talked about these two things enough?
Not enough.
Did they get a pass before that game from Pony and Donnie?
I don't think so.
Oh, my God. You lost to the Browns with DTR and Jameis Winston. God. All right.
I don't know what I just said. Go to break.
Are they going to get a Pony Donnie pass on next season as a whole? Or what's happening? Is that going to happen in preseason?
I'm waiting for whenever the free pass day is handed out. Like,
I know.
Like Kennywood tickets, maybe a pass for some ice cream.
Sure. Yes. Are you going to Kennywood soon?
I haven't been to Kennywood in a while.
I miss Kennywood.
I need to go back.
I used to go with my stepson every summer at the beginning of summer. And one year he said, when you know you walk through the tunnel and you're in.
Oh, yeah.
He said, now I know summer has begun. And it was so fun. Yeah. So fun.
That's great.
Now they're all grown up. He's grown up. My kid's grown up. She went to the prom. She's driving around. Now I'm just old and sitting in the dark all the time with no electricity. It feels like the end is nigh or nay. What's the saying, Limits?
Is it a moo point?
It's four nights of complete darkness.
He's right about that. He's right about that. It's all downhill from here. What do we do? Although I have a granddaughter now, and I've been interacting with her lately. She's adorable. She just learned to roll over Limits.
Aw. That's got to be great. That's got to be great to spend time with her.
And they call me Grandpa Joe. And that's
like
what
I call you sometimes.
But all these people who think, you know, that why don't you retire, you know, grandpa, that type of thing.
How old?
And they get mad on Twitter. I'm 59.
Okay, I was going to say, how old do you think people think you are?
I know. They think I'm like Bill Belichick or something. Mike Sullivan's 57 and just got hired for a brand new job. He's at the height of his career, Limits. They think I am Grandpa Joe from Willy Wonka, like not able to get out of bed, you know, with white hair and a white mustache.
Like you're as old as Ron.
Yeah, Ron is a great example.
Yeah.
Right. No, I'm in the prime of this media career. I don't feel well. I've had too much coffee on an empty stomach.
You haven't had your birthday this year,
I'm not
right?
That old.
Wait, are you
I'm
having
really?
A, are
no.
you having a big birthday this year?
Yeah, I'll be 60. I just thought of that.
A big birthday. We're going to have to celebrate.
We will. When I was 50, Malzi, who I was doing the show with then, and Craigers, who's now our boss, had a big party for me, a surprise party, where Ike Taylor said happy birthday. Antonio Brown kind of said happy birthday. Remember he was
said,
doing those calls then?
Hey, man.
Yeah.
This is AB.
Right.
Mr. Starkey. Mr. Incrinculant.
Remember?
I hope your birthday is booming.
He did. He had that service where he would call people and tell them that. So they played that and a bunch of people. And now 10 years have gone by. And now 10 more. And now everything's crumbling.
A friend of mine once got me a birthday cameo video from Travis Swaggerty for my birthday. Too bad it never worked out for Travis Swaggerty, but it was a really nice thought back
no,
then.
They struck out on that one.
He was a prospect still at the time. He was like just drafted. I thought it was cool at the time.
Yeah, it was very meaningful, I think. Yeah. Listen to Pomp and Joe. Have I done any reads this hour? Anything?
I don't think so.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. How about these donuts on Fridays, Limits from Oakmont Bakery?
So good. I look forward to them every Friday.
The cinnamon muffins are to die for. Have you had those things? Unbelievable.
Yes. Very good. And the blueberry.
Yeah, and I appreciate that there's no raisins in there. Why would somebody ruin a perfectly good cinnamon muffin with a raisin?
I don't know.
Or a cinnamon roll.
Yeah, or oatmeal raisin.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't
Nobody
know.
Needs that.